AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Prosecutors in New Mexico plan to file involuntary manslaughter charges against Alec Baldwin for firing the prop gun that killed a cinematographer in 2021.
Alec Baldwin, who was also a producer on the low-budget film, was holding the gun during a rehearsal when it went off, resulting in the death of Helena Hutchins. In announcing the charges, prosecutors described a criminal disregard for safety on the set. Law professor Jessica Levinson says there are still unanswered questions.
We still don't know how that live ammunition got in the gun that was handed to Alec Baldwin.
Shortly before the incident, a number of workers walked off the set because of safety concerns. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
The Supreme Court still doesn't know who leaked its draft opinion on abortion last year. CBS's Jan Crawford.
They did a thorough investigation. The Chief Justice asked Michael Chertoff, the former head of Homeland Security, to come in and review the steps that were taken in this investigation. He concluded that it was thorough. And after 8 months, the bottom line is they still don't know who leaked this draft opinion.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the U.S. government hit the debt limit today, which means Congress will have to act fast now to avoid default for the first time ever. Here's CBS's Sarah Ewall Weiss.
Yellen warned lawmakers it's uncertain how long such measures would allow the government to keep paying its bills. But the Treasury Department estimates the government could run out of options as soon as June if Congress doesn't act.
Looks like President Biden's gearing up for 2024.
Aides to the president have been aiming for him to announce his reelection plans in mid to late February, and sources confirmed to CBS News that they expect him to do so not long after the State of the Union address on February 7th. The speech is expected to be a launch pad for a reelection effort as millions of Americans tune in to hear the president's vision for the year ahead. A precise date of a campaign announcement still isn't known.
CBS's Stephen Portnoy there. Mr. Biden is in California today touring storm damage. The family of the six-year-old who shot his teacher in Newport News, Virginia, says the gun he used had been secured.
The family's statement, released by a lawyer, did not elaborate on where the handgun was kept. The family also said a parent would usually go to school with the child each day since he, quote, suffers from an acute disability and was under a school care plan. The parents also said they will regret their absence on the day of the shooting for the rest of their lives. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
While holiday gatherings didn't spark that triple-demic the CDC warned us about, doctors say flu-like illnesses are down for the sixth straight week, and RSV is down too. Health experts were worried following a surge in cases last fall, but it didn't happen. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The embattled vice chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission says he has no plans to step down. Bob Spindell tells Channel 27 in Madison there's nothing wrong with praising Republican efforts in Milwaukee, which led to a drop in turnout among Black and Hispanic voters. The commission oversees elections in Wisconsin. Spindell was also one of the fake Trump electors. Democratic state senators yesterday called for Spindell to resign or be removed from the commission. Changes are coming to Culver's. The Wisconsin-based burger chain is trading Pepsi for Coke. A Culver's spokesperson says it will take some time to make the switch. There are 800 Culver's in 26 states. Root beer and Dr. Pepper are staying put. In sports, Marquette beat Providence last night 83-75. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You recall the Capitol insurrection. A post-ABC news poll showed 54% said Trump should be criminally charged for inciting the riot. That's like a litany of criminal allegations against the former president. You can say it's all partisanship and a witch hunt, but there wasn't one credible accusation against Obama during his entire 8-year term. So how Republicans just ignore all the evidence? I mean, he was perpetrating a coup on multiple levels.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com. The Shaw 101 FM. Your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at Warning. You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, I'd like to call this, I guess we'll never know, the Thursday edition. First and foremost, thank you, Angela Lang from Block in Wisconsin. Wonderful organization. Great guest. Thank you, Angela. If you missed her, where were you? And also, you can always find it at the civicmedia.us. Look under the show page and find the greatest radio show ever, Devil's Advocates. But Dom, the Supreme Court investigation, the murder mystery, and Hercule Poirot came up empty, man. Yeah. Agatha Christie said they never found the murderer. He got away with it. How is this a sufficient answer? I am skeptical. A little bit of the reporting and then the reaction of the former president. You should see Trump's reaction. The Supreme Court issued an investigative report on Thursday announcing that it yet to determine who leaked its raft opinion overturning Roe v. Wade to the media last year. But at least 90 people had access to the document at one point. In a statement, the court said that the investigative team, and this is weird language, just listen close. The investigative team, quote, has to date been unable to identify a person responsible by a preponderance of the evidence. Does that mean they got a couple of suspects? Like, it's 50-50 between Dom or Crute.
It could be one of those, but we don't know.
It is also unlikely the leak resulted from a computer hack, the statement said. Investigators said they conducted 126 formal interviews of 97 employees, all of whom apparently strongly denied disclosing the opinion. They also conducted a fingerprint analysis. And again, here's a quote, Dom, look closely into any connections between employees and reporters, especially scrutinized any contacts with anyone associated with Politico. That's the website that dropped this story originally, Dom. Dozens of people had access to the draft, the report states, adding that a few employees admitted telling their spouses about the draft opinion or the vote count of the justices. While the report notes that violated the court's confidentiality rules, it does not say whether that led to further investigation or disciplinary action. The report doesn't say if the justices or their spouses were interviewed. That's interesting, Don. Why wouldn't they ask the justices if they actually were?
Rudy, I want to know what Ginny Thomas knew and when did she know it. I mean, if there's anybody around here who has, you know, the resume to do something like this, I mean, it's Ginny Thomas, right? She was out there emailing all these state legislators. She was a stop the steal, right? Right? She's down. She's let her activism be known. Wait, was she interviewed?
Dominic, the report doesn't say if justices or their spouses were interviewed, but implies they were not. Implies. Here's a little language. The investigation focused on court personnel, temporary law clerks, and permanent employees who had or may have had access to the draft opinion during the period from the initial circulation until the publication by Politico, the report reads. Asked whether the justices themselves were investigated as part of the probe, the court's public information officer, Stephanie Grisham? Stephanie Marquis. Who was the public information
officer? Yeah, Marquis. That was Marquis. Yeah, yeah.
She was a steel drum, yeah, man. She didn't release any information, Dom. But anyways, the court's public information officer said she could only refer CNN to the final report. Why don't they get their information officers any information to actually give to the press?
Because if you did that, then they'd be asking more questions. So you let them go out there. You know, if they know, then they got to tell you. Otherwise, they're lying, Crudy.
Well, Don, before I start rampant speculation going, I'm going to read a little bit more. The leak, the worst breach of confidentiality in the court's history, became public on May 2nd when Politico published a draft opinion reversing the landmark 1973 decision that established a constitutional right to abortion. The disclosure rocked the court and left some justices with a sense of paranoia inside the confines of the marbled line hallways. Shortly thereafter, on May 3rd, Chief Justice John Roberts issued a statement directing the Marshal of the Court, Gail Curley, to investigate the leak. And today, we get the nothing burger of a report. We couldn't find the leaker, Dom. Here's what I would say. Right-wing talk radio today. Well, you know it's got to be a liberal. And I would say, no, I feel quite confident it was probably Alito, or perhaps your earlier speculation, Ginny Thomas, but I think it was definitely
come on, this thing, let's, this was not an FBI investigation, right? I mean, let's talk about this right off the bat.
We have these
three branches of government, right? Right, the judiciary, the legislative, executive, right? One makes the laws, one enforces the laws, one administers the laws, right? All these kinds of things. Right? Well, why would you have the Marshal of the United States Supreme Court, who, to my understanding, is what, in charge of security, building, paying some bills? This is the person that you tapped. And I don't know Gail Curley's background, but it's probably not investigative work of this sort. Now, perhaps they brought in some outside prosecutorial type help, some investigators, maybe. But if you're not asking, I don't know, the justices and their spouses as your initial interviews, I mean, of course they had access to it. Of course there are lots of politics going on right now. And of course there's reason to leak this early. If it didn't come out till later, you know, perhaps the angst and the anger would have been, you know, peaked. It had time to, you know, die off a little bit before the election came around. So, I mean, this is already a curtailed investigation. Was there subpoenas? I don't know these things. A little bit from the Washington Post, if I may. The report release suggests that the court's technology was an obstacle to the effort to identify the leaker because not all the printers, for instance, kept running up-to-date logs of activity. Okay, here's one. Investigators collected court-issued laptops and cell phones from all employees who had access to the draft opinion but did not find relevant information on those devices. Well, why are you limiting yourself to the court-issued laptops right off the bat? I mean, there's other things, right? Maybe they have a personal laptop or a personal phone that they could have used to go around this.
Yeah, but you're talking about the investigation of an administrative leak. Do you have probable cause? And I got to think, if I got a clerkship at a U.S. Supreme Court justice's office, I was a hell of a law student, I would be a hell of a lawyer, right? So I would wonder if a few of these people, just on the grounds that, you know, A, wasn't me, and B, hell no, you're not going to investigate my personal electronic devices. So I don't know if they would have had the power of law to actually do those investigations, but you have excluded one key party that could have been waterboarded or worse to extract the truth, Dom. The former President Donald Trump calls for jailing the journalist who broke the Supreme Court's draft abortion decision. First Amendment be damned, says Trump, Dom. Can I throw this in for the record?
Yeah, I mean, get there, man.
I got to be serious. Former President Donald Trump is calling for the jailing of journalists who published a leaked draft opinion showing the Supreme Court was posed to overturn Roe v. Wade. I would wonder aloud, what was the crime? But let me read on. Last spring, political reporters Josh Gerstein and Alexander Ward published a blockbuster report on a draft opinion penned by Justice Samuel Alito. Crudy speculates he might be the leaker, but that would overturn the landmark abortion ruling. The court on Thursday made public a report detailing an investigation into the leak of the opinion, indicating it was unable to identify the source of the leak. They'll never find out, and it's important that they do, Trump wrote in a post on his Truthy social website. So go to the reporter and ask him or her. You didn't even bother figuring out who the reporter was, Trump. You're just throwing stuff out there, but let me continue. So go to the reporter and ask him or her who it was. If not given the answer, put whoever in jail until the answer is given. You might add the editor and the publisher to the list. I'm not sure that that's how it works. I mean,
in Trump's fascist world, that's certainly how it works. He went on, Curdy, stop playing games. This leaking cannot be allowed to happen. It won't take long before the name of the slime is revealed. To further emphasize his point, the former president wrote a follow-up post where he said, arrest the reporter, publisher, editor. You'll get your answers fast. Stop playing games and wasting time. Well, I certainly wish Jack Smith and a lot of those other prosecutors and investigators that are, you know, have grand juries out on Trump's many, many travails would do the same. Just arrest him, throw him in jail until you get the answer. Is that how we're doing things now? Let's start with Trump.
Now we're going to get to the phone lines very, very soon. 844-967-2789. I'm going to tell you why right-wing talk radio is wrong. I'm going to tell you why anyone that doubts that the leaker is anyone other than perhaps Alito or someone authorized by Alito is wrong. And I don't know if specifically it was Alito, but it was one of the conservatives, probably Alito, because the motivation to leak this document was to lock in the decision, to make sure you preserve this majority, that you preserve this decision, that no one fell out of bed on this one. This wasn't an effort to overturn or get some Supreme Court justice assassinated or whatever else the right is spinning right now. This was an effort to lock in colleagues on the court to the ultimate ruling. The Dobbs ruling, the one that overturned precedent of 50 years. You know, that's a hard pill to swallow for the American people. And it was leaked early to make sure it happened. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. David Crosby has passed away, and Trump wants whoever killed him to be investigated and thrown in prison right now. More Devils.
Right to jail, right away.
Come on, do it now!
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've had Ted Cruz more than once. Once
in Dean, Wisconsin. Oh, yes, he has very slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate, he literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids were like, what, Bobby?
He was invading lots of bubbles. Bobby, make the greasy man go away. I can smell the desperation, Mommy.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance for mixed precipitation, becoming all snow tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 27. Northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. High of 31. Tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 21. About an inch of snow Saturday night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
It's getting to the point where
and we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. 844-967-2789. David Crosby has died. Crosby, Stills, and Nash, sometimes young, at the age of 81. Thanks for the music, man.
You know, it's way too early for the jokes I'm thinking. I just better move on to the phone callers at 844-967-2789. Joanne from Madison. Welcome, Joanne.
Hi, Joanne. Hi, just a quick note. Donald Trump, that he did a lot of his own leaking. He took on the persona of John Barron and would call various news services. But I had some great news from UW-Whitewater, and we need good news, okay, with all the sadness we feel about the dying musicians that are stacking up way too quickly.
Right, all our dead rock stars, Joanne.
We've lost a lot of them. Corey King has been offered and accepted our chancellorship, and he's a tremendous person. We interviewed him at UW-Whitewater for the job, and I threw the toughest questions at him. I mean, really tough questions about how he'd handle various situations. He's open-minded. He's fun. We're stealing him from UW Green Bay. So I don't want the people up in Green Bay. I know we got the Green Bay audience. We've got him, and it's sad for you, but we got him. He was the chancellor for university inclusivity and student affairs up there. So he knows a lot about affirmative action. He's going to keep us diverse and proud and strong and progressive, and I'm so happy I can't even see straight. It was just announced an hour and 15 minutes ago. So you got the news here first.
Joanne, you did break that one for us.
Yeah.
And you shouted out WGBW. Tell your friends we're in Green Bay now, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM all the way up Door County, all the way to Marquette, Michigan. Find us up there, WGBW. Joanne, any other thoughts?
Just that it's safe to come back to UW-Whitewater again. We've had some trouble with administrations. We've had various controversies, and our teams have slipped a little bit, but we're going to be back strong. Go Warhawks. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Joanne. My youngest is considering a UW-Whitewater education. And I said, no, lacrosse. He said, Dad, that's a party school.
Right.
Aren't those the best kind? Apparently, he's trying to get some sort of business education done.
Yeah, your legacy at lacrosse, man. That means something, right? Crudy, you almost graduated from there.
Come on, man. I got the diploma. That's all that matters.
Hey, Crudy, breaking news and perhaps good news for those concerned about the Inspector Clouseau investigation of why Ginny Thomas released the the Dobbs decision. And anyway, I digress. Fox News reporting, Fox Not News reporting, House Judiciary Committee is expected to investigate the leak of the draft Supreme Court decision that signaled the overturning of Roe v. Wade after the High Court's formal investigation failed to identify the culprit, Fox Not News has learned. Committee Chairman G.Y.M. Jordan said that last year when he served on the committee minority leader, Republicans would investigate the leak of the draft option opinion. Now that the Supreme Court has come up empty, a source close to the committee said the GOP-led panel intends to probe the matter.
Oh, I...
Jim Jordan's going to get to the bottom of it.
Some jokes just write themselves, don't they, Doug?
Yes, they do.
Think of yours amongst yourselves, just in your own head. We won't spit them aloud here. What a terrible guy to lead this investigation. Because you know, of course, he's got a motivated outcome. And I would suspect, Dom, and I think as you see investigatory people and legal experts, they didn't want to get to the truth of this matter. And that fact, and I'm not blaming the marshal, but the fact that they didn't resource this properly, that they didn't go to the FBI or some outside investigatory agency or body, tells me they didn't really want to get to the truth. And I don't think it's to protect a staffer over at Elena Kagan's office. I just don't think that's the case. And if you didn't even question, you know, the principals, the ones that wrote the opinion.
Right. The justices on the court.
And Alito's already been accused, stands accused of leaking a different decision, right?
Yes.
At a dinner party over some drinks with Lovey and Thurston. So anyways, if I was going to blame someone, I'd be looking at Alito. And you know why I feel so damn confident about this matter, Dom?
Why, Curdy?
Because Maggie Dunn told us that's probably the case on this show. And I trust her.
Really?
I trust
right.
her assessment. She told us the motivation to leak the document would be entirely on the Republican, on the conservative bloc side. They wanted to pressure this to be the ultimate outcome. They didn't want to lose Roberts or something of the sort. They didn't want to bleed this one off. They wanted to overturn Roe v. Wade. And Maggie laid out the case. And if you missed it, go look up the podcast. But Maggie laid out the case why it would be to the motivation of the conservative bloc to leak this. And to the greatest motivation of the guy that authored it. The guy with the history of being a leaker, who apparently was not the subject of this investigation.
All right, so what are you talking about? Here's what Alito, according to the Washington Post, Alito said this fall that the leak was a grave betrayal of trust by somebody, and it was a shock that led to a changed atmosphere at the court and made his colleagues for the majority targets for assassination. The threat to the justices, he added, was not theoretical because it gave people the rational reason to think they could prevent that from happening by killing one of us. This is what Samuel Alito, accused former leaker, author of it, had access to it, had motivation, had prior history. But he's not questioned. His staffers aren't questioned. Jenny Thomas, who's a known activist, she's not questioned. Come on, man. It's a joke. They don't want to find out. They know who it is. They just, you know, just going to shove this one under the rug, perhaps.
Alito staffers kept their mouths shut. They probably were questioned, but the old man, probably not. Come back for Devil's Advocates.
Never hang around gymnasium gym.
You are the worst human being I have ever met.
Yes.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
CBS News Brief. Alec Baldwin's lawyers are now responding to involuntary manslaughter charges for the death of a cinematographer. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Lawyers for Alec Baldwin have responded to CBS News, saying in part, this decision distorts Helena Hutchins' tragic death and represents a terrible miscarriage of justice. We will fight these charges and we will win.
The Supreme Court can't identify the person who leaked its draft opinion on abortion. CBS's Jan Crawford.
They say they're going to continue this investigation, and if more things come up, then, of course, if something is disclosed down the road, they will be all over that and do more interviews.
Congress could clash on raising the debt ceiling as the U.S. hits its borrowing limit. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
They see this as a major opportunity to force the White House and Democrats to sit down at the negotiating table and give them something that they have long been seeking, which is spending cuts in exchange for their support to raise the debt ceiling.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. Dane County Judge Chris Taylor is running unopposed to serve on the State Court of Appeals, but that's not stopping her from getting out on the campaign trail in a different role, explaining the importance of the appeals court, yes, but also the race for state Supreme Court. It doesn't get the attention of races for governor or U.S. Senate, but it arguably has more of an impact on the lives of Wisconsinites when you see how the current conservative majority has reduced voting rights and made it tougher to fight a pandemic.
My opinion, of course, is that our role is to protect and expand people's rights, not take them away.
Taylor says beyond voting rights, the Supreme Court race can also determine whether women can get back the right to make their own personal, private health care decisions. Join us for Up North News Radio weekdays 6 to 8 a.m. and at upnorthnewswi.com.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Devil's Advocates. Because freedom.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I'm going a long ways to have a conversation with you, my little buddy, that you're not even going to want to have.
Great.
That was the theme song of the TV show called Cover Up. Do you remember that show?
No.
Ended in 1984 with the death of the lead actor on the show. His name was John Eric Hexum. Handsome guy, son of a Norwegian immigrant son. And on set, he had used a prop gun, and he shot himself in the head with a blank cartridge, and he died. He died from the shot. And who's the other one that died?
Brandon Lee?
Yeah, that's the other guy I was trying to dig out of my memory. And, of course, why I reference this is because I was a little surprised today when my phone started blowing up. Alec Baldwin going to be charged, along with the armorer on that movie set, going to be charged with, what, some negligent homicide adjacent charge. It's going to be criminally charged. Could go to jail. Prison, dude. Is there a chance that he's going to kill again on a movie set with a prop gun? And I realize you want to seek justice for the family, but I got to tell you, in these circumstances, you're not bringing the dead cinematographer back. So usually that justice comes in the form of a lot of money, right?
Alec Baldwin will be charged with involuntary manslaughter. That's the charge, according to the New York Times.
And what is the possible ramification of that charge, Tom? Do they say? Usually they say that could lead to a prison term of up to...
I'm not seeing the consequence of a conviction in the New York Times article the moment.
Let me try a little different source, CNN. Actor Alec Baldwin, who fatally shot a cinematographer on the set of the Western movie Rust in 2021, in the film's armorer, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, will each be charged with two counts of involuntary manslaughter, a prosecutor said today. The family of Helena Hutchins, who was the film's director of photographer, thanked prosecutors for their decision. It's a comfort for the family that in New Mexico, no one is above the law. Fair enough. Baldwin has maintained he was not aware the gun he fired during a rehearsal contained a live round. His attorney called the prosecutor's decision a terrible miscarriage of justice. Now, this decision distorts Helena Hutchins' tragic death and represents a terrible miscarriage of justice. Mr. Baldwin had no reason to believe there was a live bullet in the gun or anywhere on the movie set, attorney Luke Nickus said. He relied on the professionals with whom he worked, who assured him the gun did not have live rounds. We will fight these charges and we will win. An attorney for Gutierrez-Reed said he believes the jurors will find his client not guilty. We were expecting the charges, but they were absolutely wrong as to Hannah. We expect that she will be found not guilty by a jury, and she did not commit manslaughter. She has been emotional about the tragedy, but has committed no crime. So, and I still didn't get the, you know, here it is. In either case, the conviction is punishable by up to 18 months in jail and a $5,000 fine. 18 months in jail, $5,000 fine. That would be the maximum consequence, according to the CNN article I just skimmed. So here's the question, Dom. I think there's zero chance that he ever would repeat this. So if it's meant as a deterrent, I don't think it's necessary whatsoever. But if we go by the standard that no man or woman is above the law, not the former president, not the current president, not a rich guy actor like Alec Baldwin, coffee is for closers, fella. But what I would say, if that is the standard, then I suspect he will be convicted of these charges and, you know, perhaps, what, a suspended sentence? Or should he do a little time in jail, a little Huber, a little home arrest? Or does he go to an actual facility? But I would say if you pointed the gun and you pulled the trigger, you acted negligently. Anyone that's ever handled a firearm in their life knows better. I didn't know a bullet was in there. That's not an excuse after the fact. Know what I mean? If you pull the trigger and the gun goes off and it kills someone, you're culpable, at least on this involuntary manslaughter sort of basis. I would expect a conviction if that's the standard. But he's going to have
charges of
lawyers.
Up to 18 months. You know, and obviously it's a difficult situation, right? I think of if that were, you know, my family member or somebody I cared about that was shot dead on a movie set, I would certainly want justice. Involuntary manslaughter versus other charges. You know, I'm not up to speed on the particulars of the case, what the local laws are, but certainly there are professionals that you rely on in these kinds of situations, and those professionals all have liability insurance. So, they're, you know, the criminal side of it, you know, what's the intent? I'm not clear on. But certainly when something like this happens, everybody gets sued, but not everybody gets charged.
Baldwin and his legal team feel blindsided by the announcement, Nickus said. They were not given any indication Baldwin would face criminal charges and learned of the charges in the media. So anyways, Dom, any opinion? Guilty, not guilty. I mean, really, I know you're a guy, and I'm not really a big fan of handguns. I feel more comfortable with a long rifle, shotgun. For whatever reason, handguns feel more dangerous to me. And one of the few times I've handled handguns really has been your handgun. And I recall being in your living room, aiming the handgun at the television set. You know, that was my target. I was aiming at Bugs Bunny or something. And the hammer fell. Now, fortunately, I had checked the chamber, and you'd also presumably checked the chamber. I didn't find a bullet in the chamber, and the gun didn't go off, and it didn't discharge. But I always thought, you know, you're handling a dangerous thing, man. And anyone that's been around a weapon, I was in the military, and I guess I was more often around rifles and shotguns. But I can tell you, you would never point it at someone. Never.
But this is a movie set. This is a prop, man. This could have been Broadway. I mean, that's the point of it. Guns get pointed at people all the time. Have you ever watched any TV or movies, man? I mean, that's what they do. Shoot them up, pew, pew, pew. Really? That's what they do. There's lots of shooting.
I'm less convinced that the guns are actually pointed at the target. You know what I mean? You're pointed at the camera. In fact, this was a camera woman, a cinematographer that was shot. Unless he shot her through the lens of the camera, if she was just standing there without filming, this was a quote-unquote rehearsal. But if he pointed the gun at her, and I guess this would have been my determinant in making a charging decision, but if he pointed at her and she wasn't, you know, behind the camera, if the bullet didn't come through the lens of a camera, then I think he's guilty of something.
If the person that was shot was the one doing the filming, right, you don't have to point directly into the camera lens to get the effect of a gun being pointed at the camera. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but
shot they had set up and he specifically was pointing at the camera and that was the shot they were rehearsing and set up and she happened to be behind the camera and they were unaware of the bullet. And he shot the camera, bullet goes through the camera, I would find that much more forgivable. But if he is on set and he's pointing a gun at a person walking around, if that was not the specific intent of the shot to shoot a bullet at the camera and oh my God, there's real bullets. Well, of course, the oh my God part, we get that part. But the intent, where he was aiming the gun, if he was being sloppy, if he was pointing a gun at another human being on set and that gun went off, he pulled the trigger.
I mean, come on. Why would there be any live rounds, any live ammunition on a set of a movie ever, ever, ever? I mean, that's my question.
You always assume the gun is loaded, dude. You know that.
If you always assume the gun is loaded, then you would never have people shooting at each other in television and movies, Crudy.
Well, here's what I would say. I've known since 1984, I've known since I was a teenager, that this guy, this actor, shot himself in the head and killed himself with a blank gun. Just pointing the blank cartridge at his head was sufficient to kill him. I wouldn't point a blank gun at you, Dom. Not on a movie set, not in the backyard, not at the range. So why would you possibly shoot a gun that could contain live ammunition? Whether or not you thought it did, you always assume it does.
I'm sorry, dude. Are you telling me that this should be, what, some sort of law or is it some against ethical practice to, when filming a movie or on Broadway or doing a play or whatever the case may be, that they shouldn't point guns at each other?
I'm suggesting...
I mean, how's that going to work?
I'm suggesting if this is the shot, if this is the movie shot, not the bullet shot, but if this is the setup for the shot and he shot exactly as intended, then that's probably more on the armorer. I could see putting responsibility on the person that supplied the gun if that is specifically what was supposed to happen. But if he discharged a gun at random on set, if he pointed at someone and the gun goes off, Evan, you don't think that's what happened?
He was aiming at the camera. They were setting up a close, you know, on barrel, down barrel shot, and the gun, you know, the weapon discharged and hit the director of photography sort of through the camera. The director was injured too. Don't know how, but yeah, I mean, this is just a hard one. A woman is dead and he was holding the weapon, you know, in unintentional manslaughter. It's sort of, it's all in the name. He didn't mean to do it, but she's dead, and accountability is a thing. So it is tough. It is.
The district. Thank you, Evan. Sorry to interrupt snack time, man.
Well, let me just throw in here. We're talking about a different one, the Brandon Lee. This is from the New York Times back from 1993. The district attorney investigating the shooting death March 31st of Brandon Lee says he has decided against charging a movie production company with negligent homicide. So a similar circumstance and a declination of negligent homicide charges.
Well, I'm going back to the CNN reporting. The district attorney, this, of course, the Alec Baldwin charges, the district attorney said she believed Russ, the movie set, had a really fast and loose set, saying there was a lack of safety standards and live rounds on set that were mixed in with regular dummy rounds. Nobody was checking those, or at least they weren't checking them consistently, Carmack Altwies said. And then they somehow got loaded into a gun, handed off to Alec Baldwin. He didn't check it. He didn't do any of the things that he was supposed to do to make sure that he was safe and that anyone around him was safe. And then he pointed the gun at Helena Hutchins and he pulled the trigger. That, in the words of the district attorney.
And again, going back to our first conversation on this, you know, there's standard practices and processes for these kinds of things. And if that is the case, that they were not abiding by those practices or the local laws or whatever the case may be, then, you know, then you got to charge them. If that's the case, that they believe they have the evidence for that, then there should be some consequence to that action.
Baldwin was also a producer for Rust and therefore had additional responsibilities, the district attorney said. As a producer, he also had a duty to make sure that the set was safe. And then, as an actor that day, he should have checked that gun, checked those projectiles. He did not. Woman's dead. It was a tragic thing. And he's now been charged with a crime. And if you have any strong opinions, now would be the time to dial your phone at 844-967-2789. Just don't point it at anyone.
People running it that didn't know what the hell they were doing.
I know now why you cry.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tease at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies tonight with a chance for mixed precipitation becoming all snow. Low is around 27. Winds out of the northwest 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Highs level off around 31. Cloudy skies again tomorrow night. Lows around 21. About an inch of snow Saturday night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, you want to pipe in, call us right now at 844-967-2789.
Time to go into the lines. All about the lines. Walt from Minneapolis, listening on AM 950 KTNF, progressive voice of Minnesota. Walt, how you doing?
Hey, Walt. I'm happy, and I hope you guys are too. Thank you for many years of good stuff. With respect to your most recent discussion, the indictment I want to see handed down is against our violent culture. And to help us understand that, I refer everyone to Anais Nin's novel of the future book written in the 60s, in which he describes how violence in our culture substitutes for character development and dramatic action, maybe even character development for ourselves. It's so much easier to draw people into wars, football games, anything with violence, rather than trying to make us better people. But you guys are great, so thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, Walt, don't forget, betting on the football games, that's what really entertains the masses.
You guys keep me laughing. That's good.
Thank you, Walt.
Thanks, Walt. Appreciate it.
At least we got that going for us. People laugh at us, Dom.
967-2789. Real quick here, the union representing the Phil, the SAG-AFTRA, they said that the death of Ms. Hutchins was a preventable tragedy, but that it was not a failure of duty or a criminal act on the part of any performer. And I think that's, you know, that unless there's wanton and forceful effort by Baldwin, I just don't. It might be a little rough getting that. Maybe they're hoping for a plea. I don't know. Apparently, also, though, one of the others charged did plead. There were three people that were charged, and one pled to working with a dangerous weapon.
844-967-2789. Jerry calling from Arizona. Welcome, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
Hi there. I missed you guys all weekend. I don't know if it was your cold weather, but it scares the heck out of me when I lose your 950 AM Minnesota radio. I started out with liberal talk show, thank heavens it exists, in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, with Air America. Then it turned into Clear Channel. Then I was in New Mexico when Alec Baldwin, I mean, come on, an actor should not be guilty of anything when he fires a gun. The set should have been checking the gun. But anyway,
what if he was also in charge of making sure the set was safe, though, Jerry?
Well, okay, but it's over, and at least voluntary manslaughter is better than murder charges. Anyway, I was living in New Mexico when that happened, and I have to tell you this. Unbelievable. A blue state with a Democratic governor, and of course all the sheriffs were against, and the little tiny small shops that were forced to close during COVID were griping and anti-mandate, mask mandates. Anyway, they in Albuquerque, of all things, in a blue state, they have this horrible conservative radio talk show that even carries this horrible Dan Bongino, who blasts Democrats. He's replacing Rush Limbaugh, lives in Florida, and is kissing Trump's fanny who is probably listening to it on Mar-a-Lago. But anyway, why doesn't Albuquerque, New Mexico have a liberal talk radio show like yours?
They literally had our liberal talk radio show, Jerry. We played out in Albuquerque. We really, and sorry, Dom, I've dragged you up and down this adventure with me, but we had to pull our syndication plug because I bought a radio station. I had responsibilities trying to keep it viable here in the great state of Wisconsin. Jerry, I'm not clear why the Albuquerque, and there was a Santa Fe liberal station as well. We actually kind of simulcast in that market. I'm not sure why it's not still broadcasting, but somebody should Google Progressive Radio Albuquerque. I shouldn't have taken that left turn at Albuquerque, Dom. Thanks for listening, Jerry. I'll try to Google it. I'll share if I can. 844-967-2789. Pizza Box. How you doing, fella?
Hey, Mike.
Well, you know firsthand, it takes money to get on the radio, and a lot of people don't put money into Progressive Talk. But look, Alec Baldwin, it was an accident. I'm totally remorseful. Nobody felt worse. I think it's like a civil case, obviously. But what about all the intentional? Like, let me give you an example. We're all drinking plastic. These places intentionally polluted our water, man. This doesn't have any you can't make it equal to nobody's above the law, whether he's found guilty or not. Come on, man. This is America. There are plenty of people above and beyond the law. And that's just an example right there. We're corporations. The Republicans say we should clean the water, but they want us to clean it up and not hold the people. They don't even hold people responsible, man. At least Alec Baldwin is being held responsible, right? They didn't try to cover this up or anything.
That's true. That's correct. And it's going to cost a lot of money, and nothing's going to, you know, bring the victim back, and they should do everything they can to deter these kinds of things going forward. And if he had extra responsibilities above and beyond being just an actor on the set, then with those responsibilities comes responsibility. It's amazing how that works. Thanks for the call. Pizza Box, 844-967-2789.
I just want to give a shout out to our friend listening in the desert Southwest. KTRC is a commercial radio station broadcasting a progressive talk radio format licensed to Santa Fe, New Mexico. Now, the one I looked for that was in Albuquerque, they're doing sports talk on it now. I would just say.
I mean, how many sports talk stations do we need, man?
At least three in every market pulling a combined one share. I would just say the Civic Media app, tell your friends. You can take us anywhere on the Civic Media app. Or, here's the back channel, just for our friends. You got to be a friend of the devil, though. Tell Alexa, enable Devil Radio, play Devil Radio, and at, 4 o'clock Central Time, about 2 o'clock Pacific, the Devil's Advocates will come on. We'll play out of the little smart speaker. But don't tell anyone, because there is no Devil Radio app anymore. That's just our back channel. That's our Alexa skill. Rico, you got like 30 seconds, buddy. Sorry, shorted you.
Oh, that's all right. Hey, I drifted on over to the wrong side of the dial and got caught in a blizzard. I got in the white zone. And who do I hear? Nobody but Vicky herself talking about horrible radio shows. And old Rojo was on there. Rojo says we shouldn't be concerned about the crimes. Let's just, be more concerned about the truth. And, that's coming, consider the source.
Well, depends on whose truth you're talking about, Rico. We give you the unvarnished truth, the unfiltered truth. But, you perhaps cannot handle the truth. Thank you all for listening. You're the greatest audience ever, and that is the truth.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Douglas LaFollette, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Good to be here, Mike. across the country in most every state. The Secretary of State is the person who is in charge of the election. And we've seen lots of hanky-panky in Florida back during the Al Gore elections, in Ohio and Georgia and Arizona and Michigan.
We appreciate you coming around, sir.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.